In the world of the NBA, there is one team that reigns supreme. The Miami Heat in South Beach have won 25 consecutive games after defeating the Detroit Pistons on Friday night. They had a few close calls this past week in Boston and in Cleveland, and as Miami called it, the reunion tour as they faced Bosch's old Raptors on Sunday, Ray Allen's old Celtics on Monday, and then LeBron's old Cavs on Wednesday. Although, you know, the Cavs kind of look a little different from when LeBron was there, and the Raptors are, you know, a little bit of a mess, and the Celtics were depleted without KG. So the reunion tour was more of just a stomping ground, but there were some close games. Bobby, what do you think about this streak for the Heat?
Well, the biggest thing that I've taken away from some of their recent games, like the Celtics comeback and the comeback they had against Cleveland, is that a lot of people want to point out the biggest difference from when this team first came together to now being the chemistry since they've had a couple years to play together. I think it's the trickle-down effect of LeBron James' evolution, his maturity. He is mentally tough, and it rubs off on the rest of his teammates. Whereas when they first came, how it happened against Dallas, they didn't do too great with adversity. Now they get down and they just look at the clock and think there's never going to be a moment where we can't get back into a game. Regardless of time and score, we can always win a game. All right. And you see them doing that. They come back against Cleveland. They come back against Boston. Down 27, down big in the TD Garden, a real hostile place to play. It doesn't matter for this team. They always believe they can win, and they're the best team in the NBA. So that's 100% correct.
You're absolutely right, and I completely agree with where you're coming from here. Now, with the Heat streak at an amazing high, it's an impressive string of games that they've been able to put together. And now they're just 8 games away from tying the Lakers' streak in 1971-72, 33 in a row. What is the main goal of this season for the Heat, though? Is it to make NBA history, or is it to win the championship? The problem is, when you go for this streak, you're putting your players in jeopardy. Dwayne Wade is not a spring chicken. He went for 13 games in a row of 20 points, of at least 20 points, his longest streak in the LeBron era in Miami. However, Eric Spoelstra might want to cut his minutes down. During that streak of 20 points in those 13 games, 36.5 minutes per game. You know, the streak has finished since a few games ago. But if I were a Heat fan, I wouldn't want to even see Wade in games a few times a week now. I want him sitting a few games down this stretch if they want to have a legitimate chance at the championship, because one guy goes down, I'm not sure they come out of the East.
Well, you know, Dwayne Wade's not quite Kevin Garnett, where you have to give him nights off here and there, although it's never a bad idea. I think it's more a case of managing his minutes, making sure he's not playing too much or too long of a stretch during a game. Now, as for looking ahead at this streak, I see it ending right before it gets to 30. Sunday night, March 31st, in San Antonio, that's where I think this streak comes to an end, just a little before they match the Lakers' streak.
And most likely, Tony Parker will be 100% at that point. So there's a good chance that the Spurs do end the streak there, but the Heat are playing pretty well recently. You know, the fourth quarter, they've been amazing. But is this streak really worth it if your final goal is going to the finals and winning their second consecutive championship? What do you say, Bobby?
Well, Adam, LeBron James didn't get scrutinized for saying, we're going to win not one, not two, but 35 regular season games. These championships he was talking about. Here's the thing, though. I don't see why this streak is going to get in the way of them winning another championship. I don't think that going for this win streak, chasing history, is going to negatively impact their pursuit of a championship. As long as he doesn't overplay someone like Dwayne Wade in an effort to keep the win streak going, I don't see this win streak hurting their chances at another title.
Very interesting, because it makes sense, because it's not some stupid streak like an assist streak, you know, the Rondo 10 or more assists in, you know, so many games. It's not something like that. It's not a statistic. It's a victory, which is really what they're trying to get done, and it's just prepping them for the playoffs. They have a few playoff teams in that mix, like the Spurs, and I know the Celtics are near the end of the season, but they'll have a few teams in there they have to face and actually compete against, as opposed to, you know, just lay down because they want to rest guys. These, you know, their core, you know, not that old, you know, with the exception of Wade. So it's interesting how this will come together. Ray Allen as well, but he's not playing too many minutes. So it's a really interesting situation, but I think you're right that they can't say, oh, well, is it worth it to do this, or worth it to that? And LeBron is such an NBA historian. He loves this stuff. I think he definitely wants the record, which, if anything, bringing these three guys together, it's the best team in a long time. If anything, maybe it's worth it that they're able to get the streak and really kind of have their cemented stamp in NBA history.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. We're talking NBA here. As the playoffs get close, Adam, both playoff pictures, there's some tight races going on. Is there a particular matchup in either conference that you would love to see happen?
Well, I do have two matchups that are very similar in what they would encapsulate, but they're on the opposite ends of the country. You have the Los Angeles battle, and you have the New York battle, and that is with the Los Angeles Lakers and Clippers at Staples Center, going back-to-back with home-and-home games, which would be so cool. And then you have the Barclays Center and Madison Square Garden. Very, very close in proximity, going to be two very good teams in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So I have those two matchups. Hopefully will happen if the Lakers move up the standings a little bit. And then we have in the East, we have the Knicks and the Nets. If the Knicks or Nets fall a little bit lower, or, you know, you see a 4-5 or a 3-6, both these matchups have a very good chance of happening, and they would be fantastic first or second round matchups. That would be a huge, huge ratings booster for ESPN or TNT or whoever will cover these games.
There's definitely a legitimate possibility of the Battle of the Boroughs occurring. And in that one, I think the Knicks, who I like to point out are literally the oldest team in NBA history, I think they're going to have a lot of trouble containing a Nets team that has gotten on a roll as of late and played very good basketball. Deron Williams, who's starting to lose weight, get in better shape. Joe Johnson has come back from a heel injury. I like the way the team is playing. Brook Lopez down low. I think they might be just a little too much for New York to handle. And Adam, could you imagine if, again, the Knicks got bounced in the first round for the third year straight?
Well, as Celtics fans, obviously that would be a fun occurrence, no matter who it is, too, because this Knicks team seems to be usurping the Celtics in the Atlantic Division, but it still remains to be seen. We don't know what the Atlantic Division holds with these last 15 or so games in the regular season, but the playoffs are obviously more important. We don't really know what will happen to these three Atlantic Division teams, but they'll all be pretty fun to watch when it comes to playoff time.
Oh, no doubt. And then moving over to the Western Conference, we talk about the possibility of the Lakers and Clippers. The Lakers are a team that they scare me. You can talk about all the facts you want. Their starting lineup has only played together in 17 games. They're 6-11 in that stretch. They scare me. It looks like they're getting into the playoffs at this point in time, and that's a team that you got to keep an eye on. Even against, if they had to play, let's say, San Antonio in an 8-1 matchup, that's a battle to me. That's a series. I love the Spurs as much as any other true basketball fan, but that's a series to me that is not a cakewalk for Greg Popovich.
Well, we have to remember that Kobe Bryant is still one of the best scorers, one of the best players in the league today, which not many people can say at his age. It's amazing what he's doing. And he carried this team for a lot of games. And now that Dwight Howard's getting healthier and healthier as this season goes on, D'Antoni might be able to deploy him, and Pau Gasol coming back as well. They have Steve Nash. This team is strong but not deep. You don't need to be deep in the playoffs, but you just need to be healthy. So that's what's going to be big for them. They'll have to fight hard to move up the standings to avoid the Thunder and Spurs, but they'll be able to give them a series in the first round.
Adam, another team that made a trade that helped them get deeper, but still not a very deep bench, is the Memphis Grizzlies. And I would love to see Memphis take on Denver in a 4-5 battle in the first round of the playoffs. How exciting would that be? I would fully expect that series to go 7 and just be a complete dogfight.
Well, we remember last year with the Clippers and the Grizzlies. That series was fantastic. We'd expect the same from the Nuggets and Grizzlies this year. Interesting enough that this Grizzlies team looks a little different, but I think I talked about it before. Rudy Gay removing the high-usage, low-efficiency offensive player and poor defensive player in Rudy Gay? Hey, this Grizzlies team, if anything, they're going to be stronger. Maybe it's not in this playoffs. They're going to be good. They've won quite a few games recently on a hot streak. I'm not that down on that team because it seems like a lot of people were talking about the salary dump. Getting rid of Rudy Gay might have been a positive. So that's going to help them out moving forward because they have those two strong big men in the middle along with Mike Conley out playing point guard. And that Nuggets team can run like the Dickens. They have the greatest inside. Points in the paint, going to set the record. Going to set the record for most points in the paint in the season. It's amazing that they've done that. In addition, what they're going to do is run you out of the building. I'm just not sure that that's going to be able to happen in the playoffs, though. So that's why I see the Grizzlies eking that series out because of their defense and because of holding the Nuggets in the half court.
Yeah, Memphis, since acquiring Tayshaun Prince, has allowed the fewest amount of points in the NBA at 89.2 a game. On top of that, you look at the upgrade of Tayshaun Prince compared to Rudy Gay offensively. Prince shooting 36% from three compared to Rudy Gay's 31, and shooting 42% from the field compared to Gay's 40. So he's giving them more offensively and defensively. And furthermore, Zach Randolph said shortly after the trade, when you could see the chemistry was starting to turn a corner with Prince in the fold, Randolph said what it really did for the team was clarify and establish what the chain of command is, especially on offense, where they didn't exactly know where Rudy Gay fit, if he's the first option, if he's the second, if he's the third. Now they know there's a pecking order there that everyone understands, and it's allowed this team to just go out and play basketball.
Very interesting about the efficiency of Prince versus Gay. I didn't know that that was that big of a diff, or at least they had a little bit of an uptick there. It is a small sample size for Prince, but hey, he's doing pretty well out there, and he's kind of rejuvenating his old career with Detroit when they won the championship in 04, when he was part of that great team, and that truly was a team when they got all those all-stars off of them, but they were more of the team than the star, you know, player surrounding, you know, a group of others, as the TNT crew likes to say. But that matchup is going to be a lot of fun. The Nuggets will be interesting because we didn't even talk about their franchise-long winning streak. It's amazing what they've done recently and did it without a few of their great players recently. We've seen some injuries here and there. So I think this team has to be in the conversation, but the reason why I'm a little worried about them is because of their half-court offense in addition to their terrible free-throw shooting.
Well, we know that George Karl runs extremely fast-paced, high-scoring offenses. Denver, third in the league in points per game, and on this win streak, they've posted 100 quite a fair amount of times. I can remember seeing box scores and looking at the fact that Denver had 100 and just registering in my mind that it's been a fair amount and quite an impressive amount. They're also second in the league in rebounds per game at 45 a night, and the combination of JaVale McGee and Kostas Koufos has just been so impressive. George Karl is one of the ideal coaches that you would want JaVale McGee to go and play for, a guy who also worked out for Elijah Wan, and he's really starting to utilize and, you know, just take advantage of all the natural abilities that he has. George Karl's helped him get a good head on his shoulders, although we still have plenty of the McGee gifts that we love to watch. And so I think that this is a team that if they can break Memphis defensively, they can pull that one out.
See, what I'm a little worried is, come playoff time, this Nuggets team has not stepped up in the George Karl era. just once has he gotten them out of the first round. I know he's made the playoffs every year with them, but in addition, this franchise has only made it to the playoffs out of the first round once in the last 10 years, including this year as the 10th year. So they're hoping to make it, you know, for the second time in 10 years past the first round. It's just a frustrating endeavor for a team that's so talented every year. We've had the mellow years. Now we have this group phenomenon without the star. I just don't know if they can be able to make it past that first round.
And Adam, what scares me about Denver in the playoffs is, for as good as they are in transition offense, I mentioned third in the league in points per game, they struggle in the half court game. They don't really have that go-to player. I wouldn't consider Iguodala a go-to half-court scorer. I wouldn't consider Gallinari one. So Wilson Chandler has done a lot for this team, but in the half-court game, I expect them to have some problems, and it's probably where Memphis gets the better of them. That about wraps up this show. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. Make sure to tweet at us so that we can answer your questions on air during the podcast. Use the hashtag STWBA. If you want to reach me, you can tweet at me at Bobby_K91. Adam, where can they find you?
You can find me at StatsAdam. I hope everybody had a fun week. And Bobby, I wanted you just to end the show today with a fun ending. What did you call Marquette?
I called Marquette the Rodney Dangerfield of the tournament. I'm not the first one to use that nickname, but it certainly applies. And I'm already not a fan of Marquette. Not only are they Big East rivals with Syracuse, but I had Davidson beating them. And, of course, they get a layup with about 7 seconds left to win.
So I am not a fan of the Golden Eagles.
Well, thank you, Bobby, for sharing that. I was really glad that you got that out there because I wanted just to be part of the podcast. So, everybody, have a nice week.